brief word about what Barbara and I do. And we travel the country. The Lord saved us in 1978 at college. And shortly after that, we got to know each other. And, of course, the rest is history. And so we are now together, and we learned and grew in the Scriptures. And little by little, I began teaching at various assemblies in Connecticut, where we were from. And then eventually, we have basically a nationwide ministry now of Bible teaching around the country. One of the areas that I do touch on once in a while is the area of personal finance. We don't do as much as we used to. We focus on other biblical topics, generally speaking, but it's an area I've always enjoyed, and so we hopefully will be able to share with you some thoughts that'll help you along your journey. So that gives you a little bit about us without going into a lot of detail. I want to focus on what we want to try and cover this morning. But feel free during the dinner. We're going to have lunch later on, I believe, or dinner. And so feel free to chat with us and get to know us. We'd like to get to know you as well. And hopefully we can be a help to answer your questions. And then we'll come back together this evening, I believe, at 6:45, I think that is the time I heard. And I see some heads shaking, yes. And then we'll also be back again tomorrow evening, I think around the same time. And hopefully we'll again have some time together in this whole area. And so I thought I'd just mention that. Up here as well, there are some books. And actually, I'll ask maybe one of the brothers can... these are the handouts for the seminar, so maybe there's a brother who might be able to... be willing to just hand those out a little bit. Just one per couple or per person should be fine. I think we'll have enough. And then if there's extras, feel free to take them for friends or relatives or whatever. But we'll have those. That's all the slides we'll have. So basically, if you're going to miss a session for some reason, at least you'll have the slides, and you can take a look at those. We do have some books up here. One is a book I've written on personal finance, which is a pretty thick book. I think it's about 500 pages. Yep, over 500 pages for those who want to have a short read on the area of personal finance. This is a second edition written about, I think updated about in 2005 or 2007 in there somewhere. So there's probably a few laws that have changed since then, but we still make the book available. It's free. You can take a copy if you like. We do it as unto the Lord. And so if you know if somebody could use it, it's from a biblical perspective. You can come up here and take a look at these and take one. We also have some CDs. I do some singing once in a while, and so I provide some CDs. Feel free to take them. That's fine. One is a newer one. This is CD that's available face-to-face. You know that song? Face-to-face. Okay. And then I also have one, Is There a Better Home Awaiting? This is a digital download for these. This is for all the folks who like the computer stuff, right, and download things. This has a download card in it, and you can get a free download of all the hymns that are on the CD. Okay, so feel free to take those if you'd like. And we have our card up here. Also, there's a little booklet on Caesar Taxes and the Assemblies of Believers. Sister Emily here, I believe she's here somewhere, helped me. Oh, there she is, right there. She actually helped me edit this, right? I remember sending it to you. You're very helpful, very kind. And so feel free, if you want to take a copy, they're available. This has been very helpful to some of the assemblies of the Lord's people concerning taxes and contributions and so on. And anyway, anything up here is free to be taken to use for God's glory. So you're welcome to take that anytime during the next day or two. So, all right, with all that being said, let's go ahead and take a look together at these financial issues in the Scriptures. We're going to set the foundation in these first two sessions together, and then we will get into some practical things as well. I think tonight we'll look at credit and the issue of borrowing. Should a Christian borrow money? Now, hopefully the elders won't be too upset by what I say. We'll see what kind of problems they cause. Anyway, we'll get into that tonight, Lord willing. And then tomorrow, I'll look at the issue, tomorrow evening, of the issue of investing. Should we be in the stock market, the bond market? Should we, be playing the lottery, for instance, as part of our investing and so on, right? Things like this. And again, some not always easily answered questions, but we'll try our best to share with you some thoughts on these from the Scriptures. And so we'll do that. We will be looking at some of the Scriptures as we go along, and probably most of the Scriptures we'll look at will be in the book of Luke. I won't actually read anything right at the moment. We'll just look at a little overview. But we will be looking at some Scriptures from there. So anyway, this is going to lay the foundation, My email address is on there, so if you have questions, and also we do some personal counseling, or at least I do. I've counseled many people over the years in the area of personal finance, personal struggles, issues that they've had. Someone's lost a job and things like that, make things difficult. And I'll be giving some examples, of course, some of the things we've gone through over the years, not mentioning names, of course, but just to give you an idea of some of the things we've encountered that will be a help to you. And so you'll notice my key verse is 1 Corinthians 4:2 up there, and where I focus on the issue of the fact that a steward is to be found faithful, right? The importance of being faithful. And I think that is the key to the whole seminar, really. That anything we have, whatever resource, now we're going to do with financial resources, but whatever it might be, that we might be found faithful. Isn't that the key? That when we're all done with life and we go be the Lord, don't we want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant, that we've been faithful to him. And so I recently did that. Actually, I went over the whole topic recently at an elders' breakfast up in Connecticut. I had quite a few elders, perhaps 30 or 40 elders in various assemblies. And we looked at that whole issue of faithfulness, that God expects us to be faithful to him in the discharge of our duties, but also, obviously, in relation to our other resources he gives us. Well, with all that being said, then, these are our objectives this morning, that we want to look at the basis, that is the biblical basis, as our brother already mentioned. We're going to look at the biblical basis for financial planning. What does the Bible have to say? And some of you have already read it and realize there's a great deal said about finance in the Bible. A lot of parables, proverbs, and so on. The reality is money is in our life because we use it to buy things, sell things, whatever, and we realize it's all over the place, right? Basically, it's an everyday thing, and so the Bible uses it as an everyday thing, whether it's paying taxes or buying and selling or whatever it might be. Borrowing happens in the Bible a little bit. We'll get into that probably tonight. And then we want to look at the difference between what the... Now, see, the world, of course, has some similarities as far as how it uses money, but there are some differences. And so we want to understand the differences between what the biblical perspective is, that is the Christian perspective, and the world. So we're going to look at that. And what does it mean to be a steward? And then, of course, the key steps in planning we want to look at as well. So I will not be going to every verse that I bring up. I'm going to mention a few of them. I'll touch on a few of them, perhaps. I'll read a few. Just to give you the sense, and then I'm going to have to rely on you to go back and read it, right? So that when I give you the test later, you'll pass it. Say that's I'm a professor type, so you have to get used to those quizzes and so on, and the pop quizzes, right? So I'm sure you'll be ready. I see a few people now sitting up now. That's good. You're getting ready. That's good. Okay, we're good. Now, part of our issue before we get into the basics is our view of things. That is, really, we talked about this a little bit last night together at dinner with the Hills, and we were talking about, the issue of our culture and how we grew up. And, change is hard, isn't it? Sometimes, especially as you get older, isn't it a little harder to change? Because you're so used to what you have, right? How you do things and whatever it might be, it's hard to change those things. And so when we think about it, a lot of our thinking is developed when we're young, children, right, in school or family and whatever. And so we already have that. And so we may get our thinking sort of messed up a little bit in the early on. And if we do, that may hang with us. And so people's view of money, for instance, is one of those things. How we view things sort of stays with us and can be a problem to us. And so I've listed here a few things, as you can see. And so certainly you'll hear this from the world, that the money is the root of all evil. We shouldn't even have anything to do with it. But is that true? No, of course not. You know, of course, you study that portion of Scripture and 1 Timothy, and it's the love of money. That's it, right? But you see, you've heard that before, haven't you? From other people, right? Because the world, of course, doesn't understand the Scriptures, generally speaking. And so they'll say things or they'll take portions of the Scripture and modify them, right? But even believers get this wrong sometimes. And then, of course, the issue of the lottery, right? I don't know if you watch those shows. I just one show on HGTV. I don't watch TV unless I'm out at someone's home or traveling. I don't watch TV at home. But HGTV is very interesting. You know, you ever watch HGTV, the House Hunters and all that kind of stuff? And so they have a show, of course, my lottery home, I think it is, or my dream home or whatever it is. My lottery dream home, I think, something like that, right? And so people win the lottery, and so then they get their new home based on the winnings from the lottery. And so the question will be asked, of course, can't the Lord provide you the lottery, right? People are going to tell me that, right? But see, that's a worldly perspective, because when we get to investing, we'll talk about the lottery, right? The issue of the lottery, and what happens there. But that colors our thinking. The whole issue of the world is, well, you know, let's take a chance, right? And see if we can't win it. And, you know, how often does the Bible speak about the, you know, many people think, well, it's not in the Bible. Money's, we don't worry about it. You know, forget about money. Let's focus on other things. Because the Bible really didn't have much to say anyway, some Christians will say. But that's not true either, of course. We'll see there's much to be said in the Scriptures. And of course, then some will say that we should be rich. I'm sure you like that idea, don't you? That well, we should be rich. And in fact, there are some speakers, right, Christian speakers on TV and elsewhere saying, if you're not rich, then you must be in sin, right? That there's problems with you, say. Which means there are probably problems for many of us, right? Because you see, that's what they'll say. They'll say, well, if you're ill or you're not rich or whatever, that means you lack faith or you're not. Well, is that true? There's a problem there, of course, and we have to look at those kind of things. But our thinking can get wrong. And some people think it's just so. Now, I can't say it's not complex in some ways in this world's financial instruments. There are some complexities. But some people think, well, it's just too complex, so I'll just ignore it. Now, brother, what happens when you ignore something that's going wrong? Have you ever had that problem? You had a little knock in your car, a little, you know, a little thing going on in your car, and you said, well, you know what, it's nothing. And then you know what happened, right? Oh, it breaks down. And you say, I wonder why it broke down. You know, oh, yeah, I heard, and the mechanic asked you, yeah, have you heard any knocking? Oh, yeah, I thought it was just nothing. And that's how we view things sometimes. You see, our thinking gets off. And God, and the other hand, you know, some will say, well, God will provide anyway. We don't have to worry about money. God provides. Don't worry about it, right? Doesn't God say he'll provide for your food and shelter? In the book of Luke, right? He does do that, doesn't he? And so there's no need for me to work, is there? See, I'm just testing you to see your response, see? But you see, God, of course, has seen fit to give us work to do, hasn't he? That he doesn't just give it to us free. Can you imagine if money just grew on trees? Wouldn't that be nice and easy, wouldn't it? Had you just go up to the trees and pull it off, and that would be very nice. But you see, that's not the way God did it, did he? He makes us work in order to earn income that we might provide for our families and so on. Now, you may not like it that way, but you know what? God did it that way. And that's the way it goes, right? You have to admit that it's different, isn't it? But that's the way he decided to do it, that we might learn to rely upon him when we do have problems. Anyway, these are some thoughts on the issue of how we think, because you see, thinking is going to be key up first. What we're seeking after and so on will be key here. But then the heart as well, right? Luke 12:34, you know, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, right? There we are. And so these are some of the things we've heard over the years, right? There are actually seminars that talk about if you act rich, you'll be rich. There are people that have seminars you pay for to go to that, right? That they have, you know, in major cities. And you can go in and, you know, the whole goal is to act rich, right? You ever see a show called Keeping Up Appearances? Yep. The British comedy, right? Mrs. Bouquet. Or bucket, depending on how you look at it. Bouquet. Mrs. Bouquet, B-U-C-K-E-T, right? You see, she's trying to be somebody, isn't she? An aristocrat, say. And, of course, her family is far from it, if you ever see the show. But she tries to attempt to be like it, right? And she tries to be an aristocrat and keeps the white slimline telephone and, you know, all that kind of stuff that would make you an aristocrat, I guess. And, but that's what they're saying, right? If I act a certain way, I'll be it, right? But the reality is it doesn't make you that way. Right? You know, the family doesn't seem to be influenced at all by it, if you've ever seen that show. But the heart's key, and I won't go through every detail here for time's sake, but, you know, these are things that people think sometimes, and the heart is based on our thinking that relates to our heart. Money makes me happy. I like to spend money. It makes me feel good and all these kind of things. It gives me control and so on, right? And we've dealt with folks who've had challenges where they spend lots of money that they don't have, right? And it's something to see. But the result, of course, when we have that kind of thinking, the result is we have these things come to our mind. That is, we think, well, there's a lack of provision. God's not provided us for everything we need. No, that's not really true. He does provide your shelter and your food as long as he wants you to be here. And when you lack food and shelter and you can't get it anymore, then perhaps he's calling you home, maybe. Is that so bad? No. Okay. So not so bad. But you see, then we have misunderstanding our needs sometimes. What's a need versus a want and so on. Greed, covetousness, lack of wisdom on dealing with things. Anyone here a procrastinator? Oh, we got a few folks admitting it. That's very, very good. So at least you know. That's good. But you see, procrastination can be a problem with money as well. Ever heard of someone do this with regard to salvation? Well, I want to get right with God before I come to him. Right? I want to deal with my sin. Well, forget that. You know, go to him first. He'll deal with your sin, right? But you see, the same thing with money, right? Oh, I want, before I can do a budget, and I want to get out of debt. Then I'll do the budget and all that kind of. Well, really, you will? Let's see. This is what we get, you know. So, and of course, the issue of whenever there's a difference, whenever there's a negative balance on our monthly cash flow, then the goal, of course, is always to find more money, right? Isn't that the solution? More money, rather than spend less, and that's one of the problems we have to look at as well. And so now we come to the biblical perspective on some of these things. So I just wanted to bring out the issue of thinking, our heart, and what the result is of those that kind of thinking. But really, reality is, if you want to know what the scriptures say about this, about finance, then you need the Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to trust that all of you know Christ here, that you've put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And if you don't, that's something you should seriously think about first, right? Before worrying about the financial picture from the scriptures. But we mention that because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, you can't know the Word of God without the Spirit of God, right? So that would seem to suggest you need to have the Spirit of God first. And we would encourage folks to look at that. Which, of course, if you want the Spirit of God, that requires faith in Christ. That's why now as believers come together as a church, I'm assuming many of you, if not all of you, know Christ. There might be some here who don't, and we're glad to talk with you more about that. You know John 3:16 as well. There's a few verses that follow that are very helpful as well. For instance, he sent him into the world not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved, right? That's verse 17 of chapter 3. And so there's some verses here that really speak to the fact that you can have life in Christ, but you need to trust him first. That gives you the Spirit of God, and with the Spirit of God, we can then begin to understand all the scriptures have to say to us regarding various topics, including this one. But I leave that with you because of our time, just to note that up front. I believe that's very important, that you know Christ first and have the Spirit of God indwelling, that you might be able to understand the scriptures. Now we want to look at the issue of, you know, three things, really, in this session. Then, three steps, seeking, and then planning, and then doing. Okay, that's what we're going to look at. Seeking, planning, doing. Now, how many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, of course, but, you know how it goes, right? How often you can seek after something, and then you find it and do nothing about it. Or you seek after something, you find what you want, and now you make a plan, right, to get it, but you never execute the plan and never get it. That happens quite often. How many of you have made plans and never have done anything about the plan? Happens a lot. Oh, we got some honest people here. Very good. Yes, it happens, doesn't it? We make plans. Let's do this. Let's do that. Oh, yeah, we're going to do this. And then we just don't do anything about it. Well, the plan's not very helpful, is it, if you don't do anything about it, is it? It just sits there on the shelf like many books do, right? By the way, I love books. So I'm not against books. I have several, I don't know how many thousands of books I have, but I probably have 5 to 10,000 volumes, right, of books, you know. I love books from the old Brethren writers and so on. I have lots of those. You can talk to my wife about that. but we want to note then that the issue of seeking after the right things first. Before we start planning, before we do anything, let us seek properly, right? And so we have to recognize in Colossians 1 that the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator and sustainer of all, isn't he? You know that set of verses, right? And all things were created for him, right? And so on. And then, of course, in 1 Corinthians 10:26, he's the owner and provider of all. You have to understand that up front. Paul's quoting Psalm 24, right? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, right? And that's, so Paul's just quoting Psalm 24. Keep in mind, of course, that blessing will vary. But certainly we should be spiritually blessed, shouldn't we? That from a spiritual sense, we have a spiritual inheritance and we should be spiritually blessed and so on. And we see this come out in Colossians and Ephesians, Colossians 3 and Ephesians 1. And then, of course, we have to keep in mind that we have an account of things. That is, God has an account, in a sense, and we recognize that he's going to ask us to give an account, right? What have you done? Now, can you imagine, I would imagine some of you have made several million dollars in your lifetime. This is my guess. Some of you. Maybe only a million, I don't know. It might be only 500,000, but I bet you it's a lot more than you realize. We don't realize how much we've made over a lifetime. Why? We spend it, right? We spend it as we go, and so we might end up with, you know, $10,000 in the bank at the end of our life or whatever, and you're like, well, where did it all... But if I were to have you add up all that you've made over your life, right, it would be quite a bit. And then, I've done this with people once in a while, by the way, when we do some counseling, right? And I'll say, oh, so you made $1.24 million. Oh, that's marvelous. Let's find out where it went. And then we'll start going, right? And we start looking at, well, where did it all go? And we started adding it all up. Well, we had three cars, and we had a house, and we did this, we did that. We went on three vacations. Well, okay. Oh, so you spent $738,000. That's very good. Where's the other half million? Well. No, we don't know. Now, I don't expect you to know it all, you know, every penny, right? It's going to be after 30 or 40, 50 years. But the reality is we spend much more on other things than we realize, right? Whether it's the coffee in the morning or whatever at Dunkin' Donuts or, well, maybe it's not Dunkin' Donuts over here. I don't know. Maybe it's Starbucks over here. I don't know. But anyway. And so we have an account. And so when I ask folks, well, let's account for what you've already done so we can see where we're at, where we're spending money, well, it's very difficult to do, isn't it? It's even very difficult to do for the past year, never mind the past 40 years. That's the reality of it all. Well, we got to go on and then see that there is a difference as we start seeking after the right things. Remember, the world doesn't want you to seek after the right things. That you look at the TV commercials, which I don't see too many today, but I don't watch much TV, but you look at the commercials, some of you have, and you look at the way the world operates, and they want you to be consumers. That's what the world wants you to be. Right? Consume. Use up. It used to be, not so much today, but it used to be, now some of you folks who are older know, right? How many years would you go before you had to buy a new car according to the dealers? How many years would you own a car and then you have to get a new one? 3 or 4 years, right? Usually 3 years, right? 3 years, right? Do your car, right? Up, you need a new one, right? And they try to instill that in you, right? Your thinking was, well, it's only good for 3 years. After that, it might go bad, right? Better get another one, right? Now, today, maybe not so much because people are a little bit more savvy today and they have the internet to look up things, whatever. And so now they, you know, you might get 5 years, right, or whatever it is. But they still want you to lease or get through, right? And we'll talk more about those tonight, right? Should we lease cars, for instance, things like this? I'm sure we'll find it very interesting. And so we'll take a look. But you see, the issue is consume. Well, how do we define consumer? Well, that's a very good definition, isn't it? The one who wastes, uses up, right? Now, we do, brethren, don't we? We eat food, don't we? We consume food. So we do some of that kind of thing. But is that what we would generally say? We are, that we're consumers. But that's what the world wants. That's what they want you to be. They want you to see yourselves as consumers. And God says, no, I want you to see yourselves as stewards. I want you to be faithful to me and what I've provided through various means. And so you see a steward is a house arranger. The Greek word's oikonomos. House arranger, right? Basically is the idea. It's related to the word law. Nomos is law, right? And it's related to that root, right? And the idea of arranging the house, keeping it in order, and so on. Well, that's easier said than done, as no doubt some of you have learned. But it's what it is. We want to be stewards and be found faithful, right? But the idea is administering the house for another and, of course, giving an account, aren't we? And so in Luke 12, for instance, when the Lord comes and wants an account, right? And the man, and what happens, the steward's been beating the maidservants and manservants, and the Lord comes and now, oops, I didn't realize he's coming. Is not ready to give an account, is he? And so that can be a challenge. How about Joseph? You remember Joseph and how he was a steward in Egypt, wasn't he? And how marvelous his lesson is. Just look at his life and what he did. And he relied upon God for everything, didn't he? Even in difficult times, in sorrowful times, in prison and whatever. And yet, what a steward. And he says to Pharaoh, by the way, you know, things are going to go well for these next 7 years. You know, you better do something about it. And while the good times are here, right, he says, I'm paraphrasing, of course. While the good times are here, you go ahead and bring in the corn and make sure you store up some of it because you know what? Sometimes there's famine. There's struggles sometimes. And you know what? 7 more years of famine are coming. You better be ready. And so Pharaoh listens to him, right? And, of course, that worked out well for Israel as well. And 1 Timothy 6, what is it that we love? What do we desire? You know that verse, of course, right? That the love of money is root of all evil, 1 Timothy 6:10. Who is the giver? Job talks a lot about the issue of God and some of his struggles to understand who God was and how he operated with his friends there. And so we learned that God is the giver and the provider, isn't he? And who is the master anyway? And what do we seek? Philippians talks. You know, you can look at some of these verses on your own for time's sake. I'll look at some of the parables here in a moment. But you see here, very important to get the idea that we have the issue of Christ versus mammon or wealth, some people would translate it, right? And so what are we after? What's our desire, Christ or mammon? You can't serve both masters, as it were, right? And so again, I'm just trying to get you thinking along the right way, right? Seeking after the right things becomes key, Christ preeminent, before we plan. Another example of this is God's wisdom versus man's wisdom. And what we learn, of course, from 1 Corinthians, we already saw the issue of having the Holy Spirit from 1 Corinthians 2. But 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, the whole issue again is that God's wisdom is better than man's wisdom. The Corinthians were very smart people, had a lot of wisdom, but often it was related to man's wisdom. And yet they did have some of God's wisdom, but they didn't always use it right. The mind's important. Don't forget the mind, right? Some people say, well, you know, we're all corrupt and so on. And there's some truth, of course, related to sin, our sin nature. But we realize that the mind's extremely important, isn't it? You know, the world understands that, don't they? Hey, tell me something. When you go into a grocery store, do you think they understand your mind and how it works? The ladies know that, don't they? And the men do as well. And where do they put the milk in the store anyway? In the back. And why do they put the milk in the back of the store? Well, that's that way you have to go buy all the other stuff before you get to it, right? And do you think there's a chance that you might buy something else as you go buy all those cookies and snacks and whatever else is over there? You know how it goes. Brethren, they understand how we work, right? Because God has made us beautifully and wonderfully, hasn't he? And our minds and our bodies work a certain way. But see, it can be learned, of course, how our bodies work, and they've learned it. That's how we get medicine and so on as well, right? They do some testing, and they figure out, how does our body work? What's affected when we give it this kind of medication, perhaps, that kind of thing? It's the same kind of thing. And so the mind's extremely important, how we think and react to things and so on. Well, they can test those things. They experiment and so on and figure things out. And they know if they put things in the back of the store that you need regularly, that you will spend more money. That's the reality. They've tested it. They know. I wonder if you do that. Do you spend more money when you go to the store just to get milk? And some of us will. It's almost natural, right? Because our eyes see this other stuff, and we say, oh, I need that. This happened one time, and it's not always bad. I remember one time Barbara and I went to the store, and I love the fudge stick cookies. I don't know if any of you had those, Keebler fudge sticks. They're very good. And so they're nice cookies, and I went in, and they were on sale, right? I was going in to get something else, but there they were on the end of the aisle, right? And they're $1 a piece, I think. And they're usually like $2.69, right? So I bought 10 packages. You say, you understand what happens, right? Now, I saved a lot of money, of course, down the road because I would regularly buy those. But still, I probably didn't need to buy 10 packages right then, right? But I did. And so that's what happens. So we have to be careful. God's wisdom versus man's wisdom. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, right? A little different kind of mind, we might say. And that's what we see in Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 7. Keep in mind there's a difference in the blessing and reward, right? The difference is between what the world would suggest and what God suggests as we look at this. And so we could look at various Proverbs here. There's one here, and also Proverbs 20:20. And you get this contrast. The Proverb writer is trying to say, well, basically, you get what you sow, right? So you could be rich, perhaps. But then you get other sense of Proverbs that, well, it's okay to be in poverty or poor, right? Because you don't want to be one who ignores God by being rich. And then in Proverbs 20:20, you get this sort of combination, right? Where it says, well, don't make me rich and don't make me poor, right? Because I don't want to be the one, right? And the proverb writer sort of deals with this whole issue of trying, well, should I, where do I stand in this realm? And so we have to understand that God works in different ways with different people, doesn't he? And some are fairly poor in this world, but God still provides for them, doesn't he? And sometimes people are very rich, and some of you maybe are very rich people here, I don't know. And that's okay as well, right? God can use that as well, can't he? Do you think Abraham was rich? Oh, very rich. Maybe richer than we are in many ways, as far as physical things. And so he was rich. I think Joseph was rich, even as a steward, right, in Pharaoh's house. Do you think Jacob got pretty a good amount of money? After a while, he did, didn't he? He was pretty poor for a long time, but he got rich. It's not, rich is not wrong, of course. The issue will be the matter of the heart. But we have to realize that we have to be careful of the world's view or even some of the Christian speakers' view that we see out there sometimes where, well, we have to be rich in order to show that we know God. And so the Christian's reward, the scriptures bring out, is spiritual blessing. We've already mentioned that as well. Peace and freedom. And, of course, a future reward, right? A future inheritance, right? Israel looked for a physical inheritance. They looked forward to that. But we look forward to a spiritual inheritance, a future reward. And that's very, very important to us. Okay, so we're going to stop right there. And we're going to finish this section in our second meeting, which occurs in a few more minutes, I guess, is what I understand. And we'll look at this whole issue, and then how do I plan? If I get my mind right, the idea of seeking, but now I need to plan. And then I need to do something about it. And we'll look at some of the parables. I noted a few scriptures here. There's many we could go over, but I'll mention a few of the parables that will be helpful to us as we go along. So let's stop there. We'll close in a word of prayer, and then I'll let the brethren take it from here, and then let me know when I'm supposed to come back up. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to look at these things. And Lord, we've very quickly looked at a few important things in relation to setting the foundation for having our minds right regarding the things of money in this world and according to thy word. And so we just pray for your help, Lord, that we might seek after the right things, that we might put Christ as the preeminent one, that we, Father, would desire the things of Christ, that we might have the mind of Christ, that as we look at these things, the practical things of personal finance, we might have your mind first. So we leave in your hands to help us now as we go on in our next session and start again look at the practical planning and look at the parables that deal with the issues that will teach us how you view these things. May we be not just hearers, but doers as well. We give you thanks now in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.